This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? It is none other than the 21-22 season recap, Manchester United. We put a fork in it. We put a fork in it a couple weeks ago, but we're going to relive the highs and the many lows of the 21-22 season. We're also back in the bunker. On summer break, not really. We never go on break, sir. Pod never sleeps. Fans are hungry for sign-ins. Guess what? Rangnick Revolution, Eric Ten Hag Evolution, we're seeing nothing.
Hey, look, it's only been a week in the window. I'm going to temper down the grumpy old man speak here on the podcast until we get into transfer news. Then we'll do our proper Muppet whinging as we do. But again, we're back in the bunker. You had a great vacation. Beast Coast, Jersey Shore, fist pumping, gym tan laundry. How was the Jersey Shore, Alex?
Jersey Shore has got it all. It's got it all, sir. Back in the Beast Coast, like you said, saw the family, went for some nice runs, remembered why we moved. That humidity, I'll tell you what. We're running out of water on the West Coast.
What was the thing you missed the most? I mean, we grew up in New Jersey, and you know the food for me is a big one. You can't be knocking food at the Jersey Shore.
Or Jersey in general. I mean, number one, sentimental old man is going to be fam. Good to see the family. Haven't seen everybody since COVID. But, sir, like the proliferation and abundance of just like really good Italian food is, it's nothing to knock. So, Sammy's, Italian American classics, can't beat it, sir. They got
pizza,
it all. Cakes. I'll tell you what, they got no dry cakes. They got dry cakes everywhere in California. There's no dry cakes in Jersey, bro. You get stoned.
It's an easy five. It's an easy five, when you go in New Jersey. So, yeah, we had a quick summer break. It was good to get away. We were doing a lot of yelling at clouds on the last podcast. You know, I just get irritated with all this propaganda. You know, United's turning it around. They've restructured. Again, we're seeing the same old story. Transfer sagas dragging on. You think we're going to be pragmatic in the market, and it just looks to be we are all over the place per the usual. Can't sell, buying. It's like romantic, not like a long romantic novel with Frankie G. De Jong that nobody wants to read. We need bodies in, so many players to sign, so many players who are leaving on a free, so many players we need to be selling. This front office doesn't have the experience. It's going to be a lot for them to do. We're going to judge it all based on what they put it together. But look, preseason starts July 12th. Eric Ten Hag, I'm sure he wanted his business done well before that. He wants Frankie before training, and we're haggling over 15 million euros with Barcelona, rumored to be. It just seems like the same old for Manchester United in the transfer window.
And you know what? Why would we expect anything different? You know, if we had anyone that thought Richard Arnold or John Murtaugh and like Darren Fletcher would bring in a new era. Let's just remember who these people are. You know, this is the second in command behind Ed Woodward. They have no qualifications for this job. They're completely out of their element. And the expectation around the club, we don't have a lot of money, like you said. So you really need someone who's astute, done it before, knows how to be like pragmatic in the market and good deals, get players out. And this, dude, we have the same regime, a continuation of the last bunch of buffoons, because everything we've seen to date, you know, you can't judge a transfer window 2 weeks in, but it sounds like more of the same. Monitoring FC, keenly watching FC, just the Frankie signing in the first place. If that is who Eric Ten Hag wants, we already missed out on Nunez. He went to Liverpool. I'm not sure everybody was sold on that. It did seem to be a target we wanted that we ended up dragging our feet over and lost. Frankie, No one else is in for him at the moment. But look at the speed with which proficient clubs get signings done. Look at Real Madrid picking up midfielders. They did it in a week. There's no bullshit haggling. You just get it done, pay the price, that's it, move on to the next
Tottenham.
One.
Tottenham!
Spurs already on the third signing. Liverpool scum are all already on to the third signing. Dude, we need more work than all of those teams. And we have nothing doing. Like, there's maybe a Dean Henderson loan deal on the table. That won't even give us money this year to spend on additional players. But what else can we expect? It's Ed Woodward FC, baby.
Sorry, if you're wondering what that chime is, I got to update my antivirus on the computer. We're doing it here live on the podcast. One thing it brings me back to, Manchester United, biggest football club in the world. We absolutely love this club. We're looking at photos in the pod bunker of Champions League titles, these legends on the wall. You look at this past season that we're going to go through, and every year, if you're a new listener, we recap every season. Now, this one, I almost wanted to skip the recap, but you know, it's good to just go through it, relive the key moments in the season. But for me, the biggest issue I have is how this was handled, the Rangnick appointment, the punting to the next manager. We wasted half a season. I mean, we could have done business in January. We could have got a number nine and a midfielder. There are plenty of options. There are options right now. The work to figure out who we need, because we knew all these players were leaving on a free. We should be striking early and often. These deals should already be done. It should be a no-brainer. We should have a plan of action. Giant summer for United, arguably the biggest summer after probably the worst season since Sir Alex, and we're just got no plan. And that's how we've operated in every transfer window. It's just like big sagas, big names. We need to be hitting singles. We talked about it. No more home run Sanchos. We need singles. I'd rather get Eriksen on a free and this Portuguese midfielder for 30, two bodies in, move on to defense, get sell AWB. We need to just be making moves, and this whole, the vibes to everything going on at United are the antithesis of what all that propaganda came out early in the summer with the restructuring is not going to be the same. I just, you've heard about Murtaugh and all the roles he's got, and we hire like a physio who's going to help him. It just seems to be the front office is not up for the task. And hey, maybe next week they prove us all wrong, but feels like we've seen this movie before. And United fans frustrated seeing Liverpool put wins on the board, Haaland going to City, Tottenham doing good pragmatic business, and they're going to get better. And oh, by the way, we want to make Champions League football next year. So the competition's heating up, even Villa in the mix. It's going to be a tough league next year, and United, too much to do, and we're doing too little.
And the Premier League only gets more difficult. Every year, it gets more competitive. Like you said, the upstarts, they get smarter. They get more cash. There's more of them. So you need to have a top-tier team to help execute on and off the field. I'm trying to find the balance. We've been very negative. I've been very negative. I have to call myself out. I know fans don't want it all the time, but there's going to be a split. Half of me, I'm not going to back off from the board. I will not ever. Like, the expectations there, like, has to be higher. These people are paid a decent amount of money, probably too much money, and they work for one of the finest clubs in the history of football, history of English football. Like, Manchester United is a giant, should be treated that way, and should have the best of the best talent, and we've got idiots. So I'm going to call that straight, but at the same time, I'm excited about Erik ten Hag. I'm excited about what he can maybe do with a bunch of players that he has at his disposal, and maybe if the signings get done. So I'm going
to
kind of harp on those
position.
Two, sir. I'm going to harp on those two. No, I'm going to be positive about the squad and Eric, and I'm going to be very, very upfront about what I'm seeing from the board. And what I'm seeing from the board is just the same shit we've been seeing for a decade since Fergie retired and brought Alex Gill with him. Sorry, it's like the Ed Woodward show. No, nothing different. Nothing different.
We have to call it as we see it. You know, this team is in crisis. This ownership has put this team in an absolutely horrid position. The front office has made bad decisions. Murtaugh, he appointed Rangnick. Bad decision. We could have had Conte. Not saying he would solve all of our problems, but you have to be calling out what is going on at this club because it's not good. Worst season since Sir Alex Ferguson. We're coming up. This could be the 10th season since we won the title. I would argue the measure of success was we had to win a title within the next decade. That is going to go, and we are arguably at our lowest point. So next season is critical for United. I have to call it as we see it because a lot of times we're right on this podcast. We said they're going to bounce Rangnick. He's not going to go upstairs. He's not going to listen to anybody, and they did. So you got to criticize this team. You got to criticize the board. And you got to call them out for what it is, because this team, it's not a good, this is doesn't look good for next season. They're talking about signing another winger and then putting Tony Martial backing up Cristiano Ronaldo at number nine. That's the strategy. You know why? Because they don't want to eat his wages because nobody wants to buy him. The mission coming from top down is really the problem. So I'm going to keep my, I'm going to keep the heat on the board.
How could you want to sign another winger? Like we have a lot.
No, I know.
I know, but just Ahmad Diallo, Facundo Pellistri. It's like no continuation. What I think, what I really like about the season recap, I mean, we know the season performance wasn't good enough, but what speaks to it is like the front office decisions and mistakes that were made as early as October, like dragging their feet, like you said, on Ole, missing out on Conte. Hey, he's not the man. Doesn't matter. Make a decision. Ralf Rangnick, they were in fourth. We were in fourth in January. Greenwood, he's gone. Cavani got injured. They didn't strengthen. They didn't buy a CDM. They could have got Zachary on the free. He went to fucking Juve. Nothing. They're waiting for the next manager. And they just like, they kept bottling it. And now it's the same thing. It's like they should be ready to go. They've known the coaches. Main targets for months now, one of which was a striker, one of which is a midfielder. Hey, we miss Nunez. That's fine. There'll be others, but this is the guy. This is the midfielder you want. If it's 15 million euros, the Delta, they do this every fucking time, dude. Well, they think they're going to get a discount. They
the
never
budget
do.
Comes from the Glazers. Let's remember that. So if we had some cash to spend, we'd be spending it. That Nunez deal could get done. Dejan could get done. I do think the pocketbook of the Glazers is putting tying their arms behind their back. You know, Arnold's focused on the business side. He wants to protect that dividend for the Glazers. That's what they're thinking about. It's a tight budget. I said it's going to be a tight budget. Why are we haggling over 15 million euros? Manchester United doesn't have any cash on the balance sheet. We're pulling down a revolver. We're using the credit card right now. We're going into summer. This is an interesting time for United. As fans, we got to keep it up. Keep the pressure. Hashtag Glazers out. We're here to send that message because this is not right. What they're doing to this team. Just look at the stock price. Absolutely in the shitter. Let's get into the season recap. But before that, we have a quick PSA for the podcast. We have our end of season survey up. I post on Twitter. If you fill it out, it helps us improve the podcast. We are for fans by fans. You guys give us great feedback every single season. We really take it to heart. The good, the bad, the funny, everything in between. Please fill out that survey. If you do, we're giving away a $100 America Red Devil swag bag. Ship it to wherever you are in the world. Just fill out that survey. Make sure to drop your email at the end and you'll be entered to win the swag bag. Please check it out. It goes a long way for improving the podcast. Also, check out our Patreon page. This is the best way to support us. We don't have any commercial sponsors on the podcast. We post a monthly behind-the-scenes Patreon episode. If you want more podcasts, you want a more behind-the-scenes look, sign up on Patreon. It's a great way to support the podcast. Big shout-out to Dallas, as well as Park, who signed up on our Patreon last month. Thank you, guys. You guys are the real MVPs. Also, check out our website, www.americareddevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content. We have an awesome Rooney article up there right now. We also have merch. If you click on store, Glazers out, Scars. We got them in. They are the wrong knit. I've been messaged by a lot of you guys looking for the Glazers out scarves. It took 3 months because we're making our Busby Babe scarf as well. They got shipped. They messed them up. They got to be redone. I will be telling you when they're going to be ready, but I'm not going to sell you guys. It's the cheaper knit. It's not as good. We're not going to be selling low quality stuff. So stay tuned. I will keep you posted on Glazers out scarves. Again, apologies to everyone. Alex, tell about iTunes reviews.
John has a higher standard of care than the Glazers do. You know, he cares a lot more about the product he's putting on the field. Appreciate that, John. And a great way to support the pod, we've had a little bit of a lull in this category, is write a review on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you listen to the American Red Devils podcast. We've been giving out merch for years. We're going to give out even better merch if you're willing to put a review and send a screenshot of that 5-star review. Send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. with your mailing address and the review included. And I will personally pick, pack, and ship just something from the grab bag. So there's a lot of good stuff that we're going to send out just to kind of pump those reviews. Helps us get found organically by other Manchester United fans like you who are sick of the nonsense, sick of being force-fed just revolution
hopium.
Bullshit.
There's
hopium.
Too much like transfer.
Oh my
hopium.
God.
Like
Murtaugh ears are going to
float
away.
Murtaugh was like the man of the hour 2 weeks ago, dude. This guy's drowning. By the way... We are in the podcast bunker.
It's hot.
There is no air conditioning.
It is hot.
There's no windows. It is like 85 degrees outside. I am sweating it. We're 15 minutes in. I'm like about to take my shirt off here. Yeah, that is how hot it is. I forgot about summers. Summer transfer muppetry sweating in the podcast bunker. That is how we do. All right. Let's get into the season recap. We're going to recap it first. Talk about the transfer window. The ins in the summer of 2021. It was Jadon Sancho. Boom. Big signing. That was a two-year transfer saga. Finally got over the line. Cannot criticize this one. I think it was a good price for him. Obviously, he came in. He struggled. Varane from Real Madrid. Excited. You love Varane. Alex, big fan. I looked at the injury record. Very concerning. Similar to like a Cavani. Anytime you have an older player like this with an injury record, just look at the games played. And lo and behold, the two players we bought like that, they have a lot of injuries and aren't able to feature. So maybe the front office and director of football should be checking that out as well. Cristiano Ronaldo never injured, even though he's older. He just is a machine. Brought him in. We were absolutely over the moon. Tom Heaton was the first signing of that window, if you do remember. So we were salty. But Varane Ronaldo coming in, that we felt like the momentum was we're going for the title. How about that?
How about them apples?
Couldn't be more wrong.
Like you said, Jadon Sancho, you know, why do you buy Jadon Sancho if you bought Ahmad and Facundo? It should have been done a year earlier. But it was a good price, and he hasn't hit the ground running. So there's a lot of upside there. He's certainly a player in him, and we didn't really have a real coach at any point in this season. So we'll give it a scratch. We're assuming that that's going to turn good. Varane, I agree with you. On paper, I was very excited. I didn't do the level of diligence because, you know, I have another job and a family, and I'm not looking to his injury record, but it's not great. And
for that type of money, that's a...
He's one of the highest paid players in the Premier League, one of the highest paid players in the squad, I think only behind Ronaldo and maybe David De Gea. And you know what? It looks like he's going to be available for every other game if we're lucky. So great player, great pedigree, but injuries are a concern. And it's only easier to get injured when you play in such a physical, high-paced league like the Premier League. And then the sign of the season by far is Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't think I ever could have envisioned how well this signing would have turned out just because he won so many games. I mean, we're going to go through the moments of each month, the highlights at least, and it's almost all the Cristiano Ronaldo show. Just what a player. The one kind of bright spot of the whole like terrible season is that CR7 still got it. He seems to be around for next season. And he's just an inspiration for a lot of these youngsters who have no business playing for Manchester United just based on work ethic alone. And then Tom Heaton, how you doing? So I would have liked to see CDM. I would have liked to see CDM. We certainly needed some reinforcements in midfield based on how the season went.
Going into this season without a midfielder was just insane. The fact that they didn't address that. I mean, like Sancho, like you said, you signed Facundo, Ahmad. If you're being more pragmatic, midfield, center back, probably want a younger center back, you know, Pau Torres you could get for that type of Ron money we spent. And you look at Jadon Sancho and you could get two midfielders. It's just one of those things where did it all go wrong? It went wrong in the midfield and at the back for Manchester United this season. The outs, Dan James, see you later. I didn't like selling him. We did make some money, so kudos to the front office there. $15 million, I believe. I felt like he's young. He has a high work rate. He has that intangible. You know, he's not a finished product going forward, but when you're trying to press teams, he works hard. He covers the flank. I actually thought whenever we played City and he had to do a job, he was very good at that. Probably would have thrived under Rangnick. Probably could thrive under Erik ten Hag. That type of high work rate player. Again, not knowing where we're going, not having a true vision, not having a real director of football, selling a player like that when you're going in that direction. You know, he hasn't done well at Leeds, so there's also an argument there. He does feature for Wales, though. Pereira, he's on loan to Brazil. He's coming back. Can't sell him. Facundo Pelestri, why do we sign him? He's on loan. Brandon Williams, loan. Romero, he went on a free. Again, you look at Sergio Romero, how he was treated at United. You can't sell him for any money. He's Argentinian. starting goalkeeper at the time. Couldn't sell him. Absolutely insane.
Played in the World Cup final. I mean, he wanted to go to Everton.
Great keeper. I loved him. I really liked him a lot. Obviously, De Gea in front of him, but you know, there was the moment he could have been the man if the fax machine went through. Also, we loaned out a ton of youngsters, like Tahith Chong being one of them. And obviously, we'll get to January where we made a bunch of loans as well. So, Alex, you want to start us off in August?
Let's do August. August started like this pod room right now. Hot start, but it's a false dawn. So EPL, it kicked off for us on the 14th of August, 2021 against Leeds Scum. But as the EPL went out, three games, 7 points, end of the month in third place. Not a bad place to be in. Like I said, opener of the season, 5-1 win at home in OT against Leeds Scum. Bruno with a hat trick, his first for United. Greenwood and Fred both on the score sheet. Fred giving a preview of his goal-scoring contribution that we actually started to see this season. And then Pogba showed up for the first couple games in the season, 4 assists in a game, equaling an EPL record. So started with a lot of promise, sir. Good start.
Pogba's staying. I remember Pogba's going to stay after this game, and I shot that down as well. But everyone has rumored that Pogba, things are so good at United after one game, Pogba's going to stay. So battered at least 5-1. Southampton, we drew. Greenwood with the goal. Wolves away. Greenwood won that one. You're looking at the score sheet. Bruno's got 3. Greenwood's got 3. You're feeling pretty confident about our attacking options, especially Mason Greenwood. And obviously we know how that went, but it's interesting to see where these goals are coming from early. This is pre-Ronaldo, you have to remember. Highlight of the month would be Bruno Fernandes scoring his 3rd goal to get a hat trick on the opening day against Leeds Scum. We all hate Leeds Scum.
Lindelof.
It's exceptional movement. It really is. And the chemistry that Manchester United have got going likewise. I wonder whether the flag might go up, but Ayling would appear to be keeping him onside. But again, he's run off Robin Koch, whose job it is to try and stay as close as possible. And for me, he's not.
I mean, what a goal from Bruno Fernandes. Victor Lindelof with the ball. What a pass. What a finish. What a start for Manchester United. 5-1 at home against Leeds Scum. Bruno with the hattie. The new kit looking absolutely fresh to death. And Old Trafford rocking with fans back again. So vibes couldn't be better to start the season. Oh, yeah, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer celebrating in the dugout. That's how long it's been. What a year.
I mean, the takeaway from this is Dan James goes in for the hug. And then, you know, we talk about the contributions. We'll talk about it in August. But Greenwood, you know, we know there's a lot of negativity around that for good reason. But losing him and his productivity certainly was impacted. We'll talk about not replacing him in January. But I think the big takeaway is Bruno had a rough season. He got a lot of slack, you know, both from Manchester United fans as well as from other fans outside of the team. But he still got it. I mean, what a goal that was. First hat trick, a lot of promise in this team, but it all fell apart very quickly, sir.
Player of the month was Paul Pogba, 5 assists, and the rumors were swirling. He's going to stay, and I said, you don't trust Paul Pogba, he's leaving. I think that's what my call was at the time. I could go get it for you. But, sir, we don't have that much time. Jumping into September, the wheels start shaking on the bus here in the league. 3 games, 6 points. We end the month in 4th place. Going through the matches here, Newcastle at home 4-1. Ronaldo, he had a brace. I mean, you love to see that. Lingard and Bruno on the score sheet. Then West Ham beat them 2-1. Ronaldo and Lingard. So Lingard involved early under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then Aston Villa, we lose 1-0 at home. That was a kick in the nuts, and we go down to 4th place.
So we were as high as first, actually, when we finished against Newcastle. Now, this is pre-Bonesaw FC. They became Bonesaw FC proper in January when the Saudis executed the change of control. great win, right? Ronaldo's first, like, second debut at the club. Great to see. Winner down in London against the Hammers with Lingard, of all people, getting the winner. And then De Gea saving the penalty in stoppage time. First time I can remember him saving a penalty in a long time. And then obviously the Villa. The Villa loss, where Bruno has an opportunity to tie the game, I think right before full time. Skies it when Ronaldo was on the field. Questions being asked. But like I said, the Ole bus was starting to shake, sir. Wheels were shaking.
So when we look at the order of operations here, we beat West Ham the 19th, and we played them in the EFL Cup on September 22nd. And this is where I thought Ole made his first error. He kind of just put out a huge rotation in a 4-3-3 versus West Ham in the EFL Cup, and we crash out, losing 1-0 at home. That lineup included Hendo in net, Dalot, Bailly, Lindelof, Telles, Van de Beek, Matic, Mata, Lingard, Martial, and Sancho. He threw out the spares this early in the season. And then all these players were rested for Aston Villa, where we lost. And this is a fumble from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I thought he got a little too cute here. EFL Cup, that is the target to try to win. You should have played a strong 11 there, tried to move on and beat West Ham, and then you take that momentum to Villa. Instead, he rotates, everyone rests, we lose to West Ham, and then we lose to Villa. That was Ole's first big mistake at the wheel, I thought.
First big mistake of this season at the wheel, and I think things only got worse. That's when the pressure started really piling on, because these are not top teams in the league. You know, it's like you're beating Newcastle and Leeds and losing to West Ham, which are a fine team, but they're not a top team. We started facing top teams in October, and that's when we were really exposed.
So, and then we get in the Champions League for September. We played Young Boys away. We lost 2-1.
Terrible.
Big red flag here for me. Have no idea how it's possible to lose to Young Boys. And then Villarreal at home, we beat them 2-1, but looked absolutely horrid. Ronaldo with the 95th minute winner. United, the bus was shaking. You could totally tell. Highlight of the month was the Ronaldo stoppage time winner against Villarreal, the yellow submarine. We don't like them, sir. We don't like them and their shithousery.
Dan Lingard, Ronaldo! Most appearances, most goals, Champions League MVP. Cristiano's won it in the last minute of stoppage time. My goodness, we've missed nights like this. My goodness, we've missed him. Cristiano Ronaldo in the last minute of stoppage time, winning it for Manchester United, who've come from behind to beat Villarreal.
I mean, what a moment for Ronaldo. And you're starting to see the impact of Ronaldo. He's starting to save us in the Champions League already, right? That late winner. Jesse Lingard actually assisted it, and in the goals, he's already got 4 goals for United 1 month in. Ronaldo would prove that he was trying to save us, but we were sinking.
We were sinking, like you said. League, it was already getting worrisome, losing to West Ham in the AFL Cup. And then we got a choice group. I mean, if you remember, we got like the easiest group in the Champions League, and you start off. Did we play in the turf? A Young Boys away?
No, it was Young Boys away. Played on the turf, yep.
And we played, it looked atrocious. Villarreal, we ended up losing that game, of course. Villarreal at home. We did not look good that game. Ronaldo sold it to death. How about Jesse Lingard, by the way, with the assist for the winning goal? I don't know what kind of role he had to play at the club. But really, just like some bad team performances, and then just the individual brilliance of Ronaldo saving us and even getting us.
No, it started falling apart quick. That's the whole point, is you lose the EFL, you lose to Young Boys, bounce out of the EFL, you lose to Villa, and things are starting to crack. And obviously, Villarreal didn't look good. And then October, the wheels are off the bus. Officially, 4 games, 4 points. We end the month in 5th place. We draw Everton. We get battered by Leicester City. 4-2, and then obviously, Alex, you flew across the pond. First game since COVID. Scouse Bashers at home. Played on my son's birthday. That's why I couldn't go with you. And you know what?
I
turned on that game, and I started laughing and be like, at least it didn't fly all the way out to Manchester to watch us get absolutely just destroyed by the Scouse Bashers. That put us in 7th in Tottenham. You remember, we beat Tottenham 3-0. And that's kind of when everyone's like, okay, we're back. Ole's got some life here. But how did that feel going to Manchester to see that game? Now, in person, how did it look?
Sir, I mean, look.
What would you rather do?
It was great to go on the road. What would I rather do? I'm glad I went. I would change nothing. I'm so glad I went to that game. Great experience. Got to do it with my brother.
So glad.
So glad.
I went to that game.
So glad. What, dude?
So glad.
You need to see the good, bad, and ugly that is part of this team. You can never just have the good and just see wins like I had for many of my tenure.
You're doing research.
As a Manchester United fan. I want to see.
For the pod.
You want to see how bad it is. Also,
you got to feel it.
We'll get to May in a second. We'll get to May in a bit, right? Talk about the last game of the season we were both at. You cannot put into words what it's like, the difference between watching on TV and being there in person, right? So it looks pretty bad on TV. It looks atrocious in person. This is the moment where, like, we didn't even show up. They rolled us. They never even got a second gear. We got annihilated. I don't even think we had a shot on target. And that was when you're like, we are so far off the mark. There was no effort in the team. There was no cohesion. And that's when you got the feeling like, Ole's, you know, and maybe it was truly defined by the City loss a couple weeks later. But, like, this is the sign when you got to be looking for a manager because he was exposed. He was exposed.
That was it. You know, the for whom the bell tolls, it was ringing. Scouse Bastards 5-0. I've never seen us play worse. We weren't on good form. We were already shaken. We just covered September. We did beat Atalanta, so the way the fixtures went, we lost big to Leicester. Then we beat Atalanta midweek.
Barely.
3-2. Again, some of the most atrocious football I've ever seen. You watch that Atalanta game, we did not deserve to win it. Ronaldo bails us out late in the 81st minute, and then we come back. Paul Scholes on TV says, you play that way against Liverpool, you're going to get done. And we do, and badly. Ole's job's on the line. I think anyone who really knew what was going on, it was like, he's dead in the water. You wait for international break, you bring in the new guy. That, and this is where you start talking about the front office. You have to have an owner who watches this stuff and just has their finger on the pulse, because this is the moment when you're like, all right, 5-0 Liverpool, what's the list? Let's start reaching out.
Who's available?
It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad fast. Now, look, it wouldn't get so bad until November, so we're going to keep it here. Player of the month was Rashford. Rashford actually had 3 goals this month. Shout out to Marcus. He didn't have a great season. And obviously the highlight, again, you're going to be hearing a lot of Ronaldo goals here. Atalanta, 81st minute, Cristiano Ronaldo giving us life in the Champions League. Gonna be the last time we hear that theme for a while.
Sure, useful, great header, Ronaldo, of course, Ronaldo. These are special nights. United have come from 2 down, they lead 3-2. And the man who is made for the Champions League has scored the Stretford end. United 3, Atalanta 2.
What a player. What a player. Just like, you know, the season was miserable, but if you just watch Ronaldo's goals in those spots, header goal, Atalanta wins it. He's a beast. I wish we had a better team around him because he deserves it. I mean, the fact that our front office isn't working hard to get players around him for next season just blows my mind.
Well, it doesn't blow your mind too much when you looked at what's happened over the last 9 years or even the last going on 20 years since the Glazer hostile takeover. But like, if you were just to watch this, all the highlights we provide, you'd be like, Ronaldo must have won the Golden Boot. United probably did pretty good, but they're all against like not the best teams and a pretty shit Champions League group. But he was the highlight. You would think competent front office would be like, we got some really good youth. We got some reasonably good squad players. We got a world-class player at 37 who's still one of the best ever. Let's put something behind him and see if we can win some silverware next year. It doesn't have to be the silverware we want, but let's go for an FA Cup. Let's go for an EFL Cup. Rome wasn't built in a day. Bro, they're like you said, like they're not paying attention. It took them 5 weeks to fire Ole and bring in a caretaker manager who wasn't even equipped, who they didn't want to back, who they didn't support. They had no reason hiring in the first place.
We'll get into that. But first, let's get into November. This is Dead Duck Ole. He's walking the plank here. We start off November 6th. Actually, we start out November 2nd. Away, we draw Atalanta. Ronaldo with the brace. Again, we didn't deserve that either. We end up getting it November 6th. Shitty 2-0. Now that scoreline doesn't reflect how bad this game was. I actually think if you rewatch it, this one's worse.
Yeah.
Just because we gave up Early. We gave up so early. Nobody cared. The possession stats for Shitty were unbelievable. This was, he's got to go. Absolutely. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You could debate after Liverpool. I knew it was, it's like gravity. It's happening. After Man Shitty, no fight, no nothing. The players are done. Leakin is already starting in the press here. He's got to go. You know why this is a big deal? International break right after this game.
Perfect time.
We get 2 weeks. You can get a new manager in. Conte's screaming for the job.
And guess what?
Guess what? The front office sit on it. They bring Ole back. We get battered on November 20th, 4-1 away at Watford. I think, and Watford were relegated. This horrible Watford, they beat us 4-1, and then they decide to sack him. And oh, by the way,
Conte already went to Spurs.
Conte already went to Spurs. There's not enough time to get in, so we get Michael Carrick, caretaker manager, who didn't do bad. He ended up getting a win. He ended up getting a win against Villarreal, a draw against Chelsea, and then a win against Arsenal. So kind of he kind of stopped the bleeding a little bit. So you kind of had vibes of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coming back, caretaker manager, and kind of like stopping the bleeding. So here you're like, okay, we got a good set of players. We're going to get a new manager and end up being Rangnick. But before we get to the Rangnick saga, we got to say, again, Ronaldo equalizer versus Atalanta is going to be the highlight. He was the player of the month. You're going to hear a lot of Ronaldo goals this season because that's the only bright spot.
Desperate to get it away. Ronaldo shot. Oh, he's done it. He is quite extraordinary. He might just have saved United in the Champions League. Still the best in the business. 2-2.
Look, Ronaldo, unbelievable volley goal score. And this is probably what, and this won us the group, actually. Yeah. Huge win in a real tight spot. Again, you can't say better things about Ronaldo saving the draw there. And then getting the win against Villarreal was huge. Ronaldo with a goal and then Sancho with the goal in the 90th minute. Huge game. So we end up November. Okay, league's kind of gone to shit. Champions League, we're still in it. We're probably going to win the group there. And then December is when we get Ralf Rangnick. He starts off against Crystal Palace. We get a 1-0 win with Rangnick coming in. Let's talk about Ralf Rangnick coming in for a second. Obviously, father of the Gegenpress, the heavy metal football, Klopp, Tuchel, you know, are students of his. He's at Spartak Moscow. If he's that good, why is he over there? He's a front office guy for the last 10 years. Hasn't managed in 10 years. Why would we hire them? Oh, wait, there's this consulting piece for 2 years after he manages. Okay, kind of weird. My gut says, it's December. You have 6 months left in the season. Get a manager in. Like Villa fired their manager. They brought in Gerrard. Obviously, I don't think he should come to United, but they just brought in a new manager. Right. Why do this interim thing? Interim this and that. It's like 6 months is pretty much a season. You can have someone earn the job or lose the job in 6 months. Hire somebody, give them the full power, because when you get this interim stuff, it's like the substitute teacher dynamic. I did not like the appointment, especially given the experience from Rangnick. They tried to sell us on the consultancy, and we even said they probably messed that up right from the beginning. You can look it up. We said they were going to bottle this consultancy. Sounds vague.
Guess what? They did. Because they fucked up in both regards. They missed out on appointing a real manager who's managed recently and actually has the technical acumen on the pitch line to get shit done. Okay, well, they're not going to do that. So they're going to bring in this guy who's a club builder. Well, we need a club builder, so they shove that down our throats for 6 months. That's how I justify the appointment. I was like, well, he might not be the best on the sideline, but he's going to get an upfront view about where the team's at, you know, where we need to invest, where we need to get rid of players, where we need to like kind of double down. And they did neither. They didn't appoint a manager, and instead they like had Rangnick accumulate all this knowledge about the club. He was super honest about everything, calling out Lingard in the press, calling out Pogba in the press, calling out others in the press, calling out the board in the press, and the lack of investment and mistakes being made. And they booted him out. So if you want to speak about, and this is at this point, John Murtaugh was in charge. John Murtaugh.
No, this was his first big appointment. He had met him and talked to him because he's trying to figure out how he should do his job. But again, it goes to the whole point where if Rangnick is going to be, so you bring in, totally makes sense to bring in Rangnick under the assumption you're like, this is how we want to play football. This is the future of football in the league. You look at how Tuchel's playing, you look how Klopp's playing. We want to play high-pressing, high-intensity football. I think that would go well at Manchester United, right? It's exciting. That's what fans want to see. So we bring in Rangnick. He's going to be the manager. He's going to see who can do it, who can't. And then he's going to go upstairs. He's going to embed this philosophy in the first team, and he's going to be in charge of implementing that philosophy over the next 5 years.
Sounds great.
With the next manager, because then he's going to go upstairs. He's going to help us select the next manager, and then we're going to have a manager and a philosophy, and then this is going to what's going to bring us forward. And obviously, if you don't bring him in and implement that philosophy, there's literally no point in bringing him in, because he had a horrible record over the course of the season. So he did start off okay. Crystal Palace, I thought we played well. We win 1-0 with a Fred goal. Norwich, we won away with Ronaldo penalty. Obviously, great set of fixtures when he came in as well. Newcastle away, we drew. Cavani had the goal. Burnley, we won at home. McTominay and Ronaldo, and there was an own goal in there as well. We won 3-1. We're in sixth place here. In the Champions League, we only played one game, but it really didn't matter because we had the group locked up. It was Young Boys at home. We drew 1-1. We drew and lost to Young Boys. LOL. Can't complain. We won the group in the Champions League. That's a huge accomplishment. You look at Ole's out. We win 4 or 5 in the league, and we won our group in the Champions League. Everything to play for, right?
Everything to play for. Like you said, he got a dead cat bounce because he's probably dead on arrival based on the things we talked about. Never set up for success. They lied to us from the beginning. They knew they weren't going to do this. They knew they were going to put him in the front office, because that would have required...
No, here's the thing. Reina came in, if he did well, he probably would have been the manager, right? And so I think it always was a manager role, and that's where it went wrong, where it was never really the manager then go be the director of football role, because that's kind of Murtaugh's job, and he doesn't want to give it up. That's why we're not hiring Paul Mitchell. It's why Rangnick's not going to be a consultant. There seems to be some top-down control that they're not willing to give up to, like, the technical or directors of football with experience, because I don't think they're going to be wanting to run a club without having any access to budgets or et cetera. Right?
They want yes men. They want men that exactly. will just sell people, the party line, which is the Glazers are a great family to own this story club. They've spent a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. They've always spent money in the transfer market. And who's going to do that? Richard Arnold is as qualified as Ed Woodward is, bro. He's a former accountant / investment banker who apparently is qualified to be in charge as the CEO of the largest club in England, one of the largest clubs in the world. He ain't good enough. John Murtaugh has never been a DOF. He was like an assistant of an assistant under fucking David Moyes when he sacked the entire front office, or at least backroom staff, that Fergie had built over 20 years. He ain't good enough. Darren Fletcher, I don't even know what he does. He doesn't even know what he does. No, he ain't good enough.
That's establisher.
But I'm just making
this
a point.
Established.
Is like they didn't want experience because there is no room for experience at this club as it relates to like the front office is full of people that don't deserve to be there. Like I said, they wouldn't get this position at a Brighton.
No, I understand. But it's just like in the context of Rangnick, I do think that he came in thinking that the board and maybe Arnold said, if he does a good job, it's almost like it's kind of like a gladiator. Send him out, and if the crowd likes him, then we'll, you know, have him involved.
We'll kill him.
And the Rangnick experiment didn't go well, but he's being evaluated on something that is not his strength, which is club building. So I don't really care how well he does as a manager. Right. I want to know his notes on the team, who he'd keep, who he'd sell, who he'd sign. That's the value that Ralf Rangnick can give you. He's not going to probably do it on the touchline. And clearly, you know, we're getting to January. United's owners show their ambition. And a lot of things happen in January.
Don't forget the Ronaldo goal in December, sir. We don't want to.
Yeah, we got to have the bright spots. Okay, so Ronaldo, player of the month again. 4 goals. Penalty, Arsenal, 70th minute. You love to see it. Needed to beat the Gunners.
Ronaldo, 801. Manchester United 3, Arsenal 2, and we've still got 20 minutes remaining of this fabulous football match.
Did they sack Arlo White yet? Is he get fired yet?
No, he's not going to. Allegedly, he's not going to be back. I We can get into that commentary later. A lot of people like Carlo White. They get angry when you criticize the former Seattle Sounders commentary guy. So January, jumping into it, Greenwood suspended. Obviously, we all know the allegations, everything. I think you saw it on social media. Came out of nowhere. For as far as the team's concerned, we're down one of our leading goal scorers. Was featuring on the right wing. He can play number nine. And then Cavani goes down. And so clearly we need a striker. Rangnick asked the board for a striker. Got nothing. And this is where I don't know why the board doesn't want to act here. We arguably needed a mid. We're dying for a midfielder. We're dying for a number nine. There were deals to be done. Pragmatic business to do. And again, they just punted to this summer because they didn't want to make any decisions until they hired a new manager. And you're just wasting half a season because top four is on the line. It's you're playing for 100 million. And they're just, nah, we're good.
And we got some big wins at the end, right? We beat Brentford in a good win, 3-1 away. Got the West Ham win where Rashford was a player of the month in terms of the moment of the month with his late winner against the Hammers at home. And we finished in fourth. We finished the fucking month in fourth. We had everything to play for. We had 100 million pounds on the line. And like you said, the club showed their lack of ambition. Oh, we're going to let the next manager do it. Oh, he's going to pick the next players that we want. We don't want to get an overinflated squad with players that don't align. But hey, Ralph Rangnick's going to the front office. He should be able to identify good talent. He's done it before. He's done this at other clubs. Zachary, like I said, we needed a CDM. Dude, punting. They just want to punt. They wanted to see if they can get away with it. They tried to get away with it, and they did not get away with it.
Again, four games, 7 points. We finished the month in fourth. FA Cup, we played one game against Villa. We beat them 1-0. So again, we're holding on here. And let's get to the highlight of the month. It would be that Rashford late winner against West Ham. I thought this was going to be the Rashford turnaround. He was struggling before this. I really thought he would kick into gear after this goal.
The Manchester United swarming forward now. It's Martial for Cavani. And Rashford puts it in. That's the moment. That's the difference. That's the goal. And Manchester United are targeting West Ham's top four place. Marcus Rashford is smiling again. And he's not alone around Old Trafford.
Oh, what a huge, huge moment for Manchester United.
I mean, a great moment. Martial to Cavani to Marcus Rashford, a late winner. Actually, it was Ronaldo to Martial to Cavani to Rashford. What a goal. And like you see these players on the field. Cavani, Varane, Rashford. I mean, it looked like we were going to do well. You know, I could see maybe them not thinking we need a number nine here. But after Cavani went down, it was clear we needed somebody.
We needed somebody, and like you said, if you just took the highlights, it looks like there was a lot of good stuff happening. And I don't know what happened in January. Maybe like Ralph got frustrated because he knew he needed a player. They didn't sign him, and he lost some hope. Maybe it was the players stopped playing for him, but everything started falling apart after this window closed. Because I remember you and I were like, you got to sign somebody. You got to sign somebody.
I thought they were going to sign a midfielder.
So did I.
I like because there were people available for free. And we just needed a body in there. Recapping the January transfer window, no players in. You get rid of Donny van de Beek to Everton. You loan him. Then you loan Diallo to Rangers. You loan Martial to Sevilla. And then Twanzebe goes to Napoli on loan as well. I thought, why can't Twanzebe get a shout? You know, our back line looks horrible. Martial, we need it. Greenwood gets suspended. Martial leaves. Ahmad leaves. Donny leaves. We're down in the midfield. We're loaning away a striker. Cavani's injured as well. We have nobody who can play up front. It's starting to get really light. Sancho couldn't get a game either, fitness or form. It all fell apart, really, in this January transfer window. I thought, what are they thinking here? Donny could have featured. Martial could have featured. I guess he went south on Reina called out Lingard. He called out Martial, but I don't know.
No, I don't know the timing exactly, but I think it was towards the last week that the Greenwood news came out. Cavani had already been injured. maybe you don't. I wouldn't have let Martial go, certainly, if you knew that Greenwood was going to be suspended. But to not act, to do nothing. Some of these players could have featured, but also, like, bring in ins, right? They're on the way out anyway. That just shows you how tuned out the board is. They probably just looked on a piece of paper and said, hey, we're in fourth place. Fuck it, we're not spending any money. And they didn't. And then injuries accumulated, lack of depth, and maybe also a manager out of his depth. But it was always marketed as a long-term plan. You know, he was going to go to the front office, and instead he got the boot.
And here we go, February. This is where it all falls apart. 5 games, 9 points. United finished the month in fourth, but a lot of opportunities gone missing here and against easy opposition in the league. Burnley drew away. Southampton drew at home. Brighton, we won away 2-0. Leeds, we won away 4-2. Watford drew at home. Burnley, Southampton, Watford, these are the games. You're dropping points. We're not losing, but you're dropping big points.
Still four.
You should be cashing those checks, getting up the table. That would have made the difference at the end of the season to get top four. You cannot be drawn and losing to relegation-bound Watford. You look at Burnley as well, relegation. One. I mean, it's just tough stuff here.
It is, and this is when the team, I think, stopped playing for Ralf Rangnick. I think the level of effort here was kind of apparent. Some of these losses, or like at least points dropped. The Watford game, I think, stood out in my head. We just looked like we had nothing doing. It wasn't like, you know, hard done. They had a goalie that was on form. It was just we had no semblance of a plan. The boys weren't running. Like, they didn't give a shit. They could tell that Ralf Rangnick was completely toothless in his real power and influence at the club. I think they were still taking direction from Darren Fletcher. Remember, he was on the sideline.
There was a moment in the season where Rangnick wanted to play a certain way, and then Pogba, Ronaldo, I think Bruno went to him. This is all came out after then this season, and they wanted to play sort of the Ole ball, two CDMs, you know, the 4-2-3-1, which we haven't been able to get away from for the longest time. So he kind of gave up a little bit here. And then, you know, when the players run the roost, these are the type of performances you're going to see. In the FA Cup, knocked out by Middlesbrough, that famous handball. Again, I don't think you can make excuses about officiating. This is one of the most egregious handballs I've ever seen.
It was,
but again, it's Middlesbrough, so I'm going to chalk that up to United just being absolute shit. And then in the Champions League, we drew Atletico Madrid away. United get a lucky draw away in Madrid. So
after being outplayed, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Highlight of the moment of that month, great goal from Malanga, who was kind of just starting to break through under Ralf Rangnick.
I don't think he really broke through. Anthony Alanga.
When he's found a way through, and Alanga, who's just come on, has equalized! That might just be his first kick of the ball! 19 years of age, Anthony Alanga.
Moment of quality, first from Fred. And then from Bruno Fernandes, can he find...
What a ball from Bruno. What a finish by Alanga. We draw away. This is exactly how you want to set up a knockout tie. We're coming home. Obviously, away goals don't matter, but you think you could probably win it at home with the Old Trafford faithful behind you. So, league, we're in fourth still somehow. This is like one of those things in the league where it was like everyone was just...
bottling it.
Nobody wanted it. We get the FA Cup knockout. That one hurt. Because we need a trophy in some way, and then you're looking at the only trophy you can get is the Champions League at this point. And then we're into March. Actually, player of the month was Bruno, 2 goals, 3 assists for Manchester United. March was pretty ugly, not a lot of games. Obviously, international break was huge from March to April here in the league, 2 games, 3 points. We finished that month in fifth. We got annihilated by Manchester City away 4-1. Then we beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-2. We beat Tottenham in both fixtures.
I know. And they finished fourth.
But, you know, we go back to those Burnleys,
yep,
those Watford games. Yep. Those are the difference. And always have been the difference for us lately. Ronaldo with the hat trick against Tottenham. Unbelievable. And then we bow out of the Champions League, losing 1-0 at home to Atletico Madrid. Tough one here. Nothing was coming up good for us at this point.
And I think once we lost out on the Champions League, just, you know, rightly so, we play like shit in the home game, play like shit in the away game. We're lucky to have it even be 2-1 on aggregate. I think a lot of the what's left to play for, you know, very much top four was left to play for. But I think April and May were a foregone conclusion at this point. It was like there was nothing left. I think Ralph had spoken too much honesty that he was getting kind of undercut by Darren Fletcher's of the world, and it all just kind of started falling apart in late spring.
Goal of the month, Ronaldo hat trick versus Tottenham. And by the way, he was also the player of the month. Let's see this highlight.
Oh, would you believe it?
What a goal.
A hat trick for Cristiano Ronaldo. This man is simply superhuman. He flew through the Manchester air and nodded it into the top corner. It could be a massive goal for Manchester United as they seek Champions League football for next season. Only his second career hat-trick in the Premier League, his 59th of a glittering career. Cristiano Ronaldo, extraordinary. Manchester
United. Look, I got to say, not a bad call from Arlo White. You can't be biased. He probably doesn't like Spurs either, but he likes Ronaldo. So, you know, you can sing his praises. Where would we be without Ronaldo? You know, you look at those signings, you look at the team we had, and he comes in. It's just like the best news in the transfer market is he doesn't want to leave yet.
Yeah.
That's the best news. You want to talk about signings or anything? Ronaldo, like, there's no... He would be hearing rumblings if he wanted to go. I haven't heard nothing. That's great. Like, you have to really think about it. You know, if we could somehow, if Erik ten Hag could somehow put together a team,
something to build around.
Like,
there is something there.
He is a player. It's unbelievable. These moments, like 80th minute winners, just winners.
It's
like, and we
five
finished
goals. This.
Unbelievable. We get into April. This is, to me, the worst moment of the season. We finished that game against Spurs. We're in fifth. We have a chance.
Come back from international break, right?
We
USA
it, like,
locked,
so like,
up, locked up World Cup. That's exciting.
No, that was exciting.
And then,
so you're in fifth place. Everything to play for. We have Leicester City, Everton, Norwich, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, right? And you're thinking about this is the race. We're starting to look at the other team's fixtures. We're probably fighting with Arsenal. Tottenham at this point, a lot of games in hand. It was a little confusing. We tried to break it down. Draw Leicester 1-1 at home. Horrible. Lose to Everton away.
And they were in the relegation zone at this point. This was a giant win. This was like Everton's first win in 3 months.
Beat Norwich with a Ronaldo hat trick 3-2.
Again, another hat trick.
Lose to the Scouse Bastards 4-0. Lose to Arsenal 3-1. Draw Chelsea 1-1. I mean, it couldn't have gone any worse. You gotta beat, like, that game. You have to beat Leicester. Everything
Everton
to play for. And this is where, when you watch the players on the pitch, like you said, Champions League was over and they gave up. Top four was up for grabs and they looked unmotivated. These players, it's like, I knew I was fired up. I was pumped up. I knew the situation we were in. We need to go on a run. We're rested coming after an international break, and it's just a fall flat on your face. And this, to me, is where the signs of the locker room and the issues of Manchester United shine right on through, because the same thing happened under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. When we got close to top four, after he got that permanent contract, we faded and just wet noodled FC out of it. We get to the Hans and Franz Cup, and we wet noodle against Villarreal. We get close to top four and we wet noodle. There's a wet noodle element to this dressing room, and I've seen it for years, and that's why you gotta be getting these players out, because you can't have that attitude at Manchester United. There's something to play for, and the players don't show up. I've seen it too many times, and that's where, if it's Ole, if it's Ralph, if it's Erik ten Hag, if you don't move those bodies out of the locker room, it's not gonna matter, because they don't have it.
And they're not gonna play for you. That's the thing. Is like,
exactly.
They control the dressing room. They're not motivated. They're only motivated by cash and getting a paycheck. And we need to bring grit back. We need to do the shit that Ralph was talking about when he first came in. You need players on their second or third contract, not fourth or fifth, that have something to play for, that need to build a reputation. Now, the only player that like showed his worth all season was Ronaldo, because he is just cementing his legacy as one of the greatest athletes in the history of sport in general, but certainly in football. So everyone else looked like they couldn't be fucking bothered. They knew Ralph was on the way out, and also they've shown that, like, it don't matter. They're playing for the grand, bro. It's like they can play as shitty as they want, but at the end of the day, we can post something about, oh, I let the team down.
No, but that's the whole this was rot bad inside the locker room at Manchester United. That is the problem with this club, and that is that's why it's such a huge task for Erik ten Hag to come in and try to change that mentality, because you saw Rangnick said, I want you to run, and everyone said, no,
I'm good.
And that's where we're at. Ronaldo, man of the month as well.
Five goals.
He's got another hat trick. We're going to listen to this one against Norwich. Just Ronaldo show.
It is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Be huge.
I mean, another 76-minute winner for Manchester United. Where would we be without Cristiano Ronaldo? I mean, unbelievable. Like, we would have been,
the 11th, 12th? Maybe.
It's brutal. We get into May. You put the title right, put us out of our misery. Three games, 3 points. Brentford at home, we won. And then Brighton away, 4-0, we lost. Then Crystal Palace, we went to that game, we lost. And it was just an embarrassing. Top four was gone, and as soon as that was gone, we just wet noodle FC. Nothing to see here, nothing to play for. We conceded 57 goals, which is the most since 1979 for Manchester United. Moment of the month, it's going to be Varane's first goal for Manchester United against Brentford. And, you know, the player of the month, we already told you, it's Ronaldo. So let's listen to Varane's goal here.
Trying to get free. Oh, and it's hooked in for a first Manchester United goal by Rafa Varane.
Things you love to see. Too little too late from Varane. And that's all she wrote. Finished the season in sixth. Not a great season. Never got started. Could never really. There was no sustainable periods of form. We had 1 month, I think, that was up for it, maybe right after Ole was sacked, and then we faded. Even when there was things to play for, we faded. This team, if you were really if you're an owner who really cared about it, you gotta get rid of a lot of people, because that element, you gotta break it down to the philosophy, the dressing room, and everything, because there's this component, this Instagram player mentality we've heard about in the press since everything leaked. Everyone's selfish. There's no team element. No one wants to work hard. No one's listening to the manager. Sir Alex Ferguson warned about that. What would happen if the players ran the club and you do nothing? He said there wouldn't be a club. And that's kind of what we see, because we went to Crystal Palace, saw it in person. That is some of the saddest football I've ever watched.
Home and away.
That wouldn't win in the MLS. That wouldn't win in the MLS, dude.
No, of course not.
I swear to God, Crystal Palace just dominating. Absolutely dominating.
We didn't have a sniff of it, and it felt the same at Liverpool. That the highlight was the end of the fucking season. It was like, this was a brutal season.
Ugh.
It shows just how far off. We've talked about the problems, but the biggest problem, other than the, like, owners who are just, they don't care. They couldn't care less about this club. It is a wealth transfer vehicle and nothing else. Is that we've allowed the players to take over the dressing room. Rule number one. Fergie's rule number one, as soon as a player thinks he's bigger than the club, he has to go. Whether it's Ruud van Nistelrooy, whether it's David Beckham, whether it's Ronaldo in 08, they got to go. And you know what? We've allowed it to fester because we have non-serious, non-football individuals running the club. We had it under Woodward. Hey, guess what? It's Woodward second in command. They're the same people. We're not going to get serious until Glazers sell. I'm hoping that, like, Powell and his jacking up interest rates maybe have a negative correlation to them selling it, but we can only hope.
Well, they're just going to be no buyers now, so they're just going to hold it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the problem. You don't sell at the top. You're going to weather the storm. And you said it right, because if I'm the director of football at Manchester United, we're straight up fucked. Because if you look at the balance in the team, it's just sacking managers, bringing in different players who fit different systems, and then sacking them, and then bringing in new Erik ten Hag, and you're like, no, we should have a director of football. Erik ten Hag and him should have
a real one, just like a real one, not a fake one.
You could make the analogy of the NFL. It's like the GM and the coach. You don't you don't push a coach on the GM. You know, you don't push a GM on a coach. You got to hire them together. You got to have a clean sweep. Front office and the manager have to be aligned, and they have to know what they can do. You can give them a budget, but they have to we don't have one. John Murtaugh is doing what the Glazers. John Murtaugh's like, who do you want, Erik ten Hag? He's trying to go get them, but like, is that what's best for Manchester United? Nunes is like
all of your budget on De Jong, like $85 million on De Jong, buy three players,
like a right back, center back from Ajax, or like a winger from Ajax. We have so many wingers. So to me, it's just looking at the depth chart of Manchester United. And I think we will do this this summer. It's like, we don't need any more wingers. We don't need Tony Martial to try to play number nine. We need two number nines behind Ronaldo. You really have to look at, okay, where are we hurting? Matic left. Pogba left. Those are two players we got to replace. Gone. Lukaku we never replaced. Cavani's gone. Greenwood's gone. We need two number nines. You look at the center backs, you're like, we have bodies, but they're not good enough.
Right.
Right? So we probably need to pay Phil Jones out his contract and then bring in another body. Twan Zabi, you can recall him. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Jimmy Gardner, fine. That could be one midfielder, but then you got to bring in another. So the whole idea is you got to start flipping over the cards, figuring out who's the real deal, who isn't. Elanga, I love him, but we're going to ruin him. You know, you bring in that kid and rely on him too much. You should be giving him exposure in certain spots so he can build confidence. And instead, we're just like running this team to the ground. We don't have the depth required. We don't have the strategy to acquire the depth. And we've seen this movie before. There's too much catch-up to be done. You look at the Scouse Bastards, Mane's already replaced.
Before he's even been sold.
But you know why? Because that's what you need to do. You sell Lukaku, you got to bring in a young... We're dying for a young number nine. By the way, his name's Haaland. And he just went to shit.
He's going to score a shit ton of goals, bro.
All right. We can go on all day about the woes of the front office. Let's get into our season awards here. We're giving away the MVP, the Sir Bobby Charlton Award. Alex, who do you got? I mean, there's only one.
There's only one. CR7, sir. Who else is it going to be? What a player he is. What an example he's shown. Give us some hope. I mean, it gave us some hope. This season could have been really bad. If there was no Ronaldo in the picture, it would have been a stage five, just fucking dumpster fire. And instead, you know, watching these highlights was fun because what a player Ronaldo is. Build a team around him, at least for another year. And the reason they don't want to do that, the reason they didn't put in a real director of football is because he'd be like, hey, we got a lot of work to do. And instead, they're going to be like, we only need three players. We're good.
Hey, we didn't call it out. We did make Europa League. So, you know, there is something for next season. In the sixth place, you get your Europa League. Better than conference. I said Ronaldo as well. The fans say Ronaldo. 59% voted for Ronaldo. 36% voted for De Gea. 2% to Bruno. 2% to Fred. And that pretty much covers it. Most improved player award. Who do you got? It's the Sir John O'Shea Award. Alex, who's your most improved player over last season?
I give it to El Pastor. You know, I think Fred, he played a little bit more of an advanced role, still has a lot of work to do in terms of living up to that price tag. Let's be honest. He's like one of the most expensive players.
Most improved? I mean, like, he improved, like, if you're going to say...
He got better.
Like, he was 5%.
Well, you want me to let me finish the answer? Or you want to 5%? You can give your response.
5%?
He improved more than... He was terrible the season before. He was okay last season. So that's an improvement. Who else are you going to call out?
I think for me, we don't need to sign a midfielder. He's the guy. And I don't necessarily think he got there. You know what I'm saying? I think close. He got close.
Sure, why instead of refuting my fucking pick, close. Why don't you tell me your pick? Because Galo was shit all season. Never played a good game.
Okay, so...
Who's on the list? Garnacho doesn't even count because he wasn't even on a team last year.
Hold on. Just hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm talking about Fred. I agree. So the fans say Fred most improved 56%. I'm going to troll the fans. I'm going to troll you.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm going to say, look, Fred cost how much money? He's what? He's Brazilian.
Starts for the Brazilian team.
Did Fred play so well this past season? I mean, he scored 4 goals.
I didn't call the MVP. I just said most improved.
To the point where you're like, he's the guy next year. We don't need to sign anyone. Fred's going to be starting week in, week out. He's 100% the guy. Now, I think he got better, but I just don't think he's at that level just yet. He's just shy of it. Just shy of it. And for most improved, I want to be like, he is going to be a player, like 100%.
Well, in a season where like the only highlight was Ronaldo just coming for a victory lap and just like showing us how ageless he is, There's not going to be a lot of improvement in the squad because there wasn't. Everyone almost got worse. Like, we'll get to the amount of people that are up for the running of disappointment, but who else is on that list that you could obviously argue? I don't think there's many.
I said Garnacho because, you know, he came out of pretty much nowhere. 18-year-old Argentinian player. He looks to be, you know, the next, you know, talisman for Manchester United coming out of the youth
academy. It was all in the academy. It was all in the youth. He didn't play like more than like four minutes.
He featured multiple times, and he won the FA Youth Cup, which I think is huge. And he also made his first team debut for Argentina. I'm going to say, like, for a player who came from, even if it's, I know it's on the edge, but because the first team did so bad, I have to say he was a huge bright spot for United. If you're looking at the future, you're like, I think we have a legit world-class player probably in 4 years if we don't mess him up. And I'm like, he broke onto the scene. I think this year he's on the scene, right?
No, he is. Like next year, I think he'd be qualified. That's an improvement. I don't think it counts because he did all of his impact was on the youth team, but I'll give it to you because the season was such a fucking disaster. And Fred ain't ever going to be that world-class player that we thought he would be. So
I hope next year Fred's most improved. I do agree he improved. The question is to what extent. Next one here, there's a long list for this one. The biggest disappointment of the season. People trolled us for, like, why do you give this award out? I mean, they used to say this is a negative award. You shouldn't give it out. And then this year, no one complained. So biggest disappointment of the season.
I'm going to have to say Marcus, you know, just because he had the injuries. He had the back injury, which was questionable how they managed that in the first place. Then the whole England thing. Delaying back surgery, going on vacation, then getting back surgery. Okay, that was a fucking mess. Finally shows up. He actually started the season all right, right? He was one of the players of the month early in the season. And then, I don't know what it was, if it was Ralph, if it was the Graham, but he, like, it wasn't just in terms of performance. Like, he couldn't give a fuck. Like, it was so obvious that Marcus Rashford just thought he was hot shit. That's the most disappointing thing, because he's a red through and through. And you know what? Everyone knows Harry Maguire is no good. Marcus is a player that, like, people were talking about as a $150 million player a year ago, and now he looked like Danny Welbeck. So that was a real disappointment because he should be the future, and instead people were talking about selling him to Spurs. So that's how he fell on my list.
There's too many, honestly, for me to pick one. You know, obviously the obvious one would be Harry, but, you know, I'm going to say Jadon Sancho. I'm going to say big signing, signed him, you know, all the hype. He was going to have this huge price tag. We sign him. Obviously, same thing with Rashford in England, gets put in, misses the pen, and then he just couldn't get going. You know, a lot of Instagrams, partying on the beach, and then I just never saw him get the fitness. You think about him playing with Ronaldo. How is he just not killing it? With Ronaldo at number 9, fits and starts for him, and he's young. That should not be, you know, he kind of had like a Cavani-esque season where he's in, he's out, and he's that young. He should be in every game. He should be the knocked-on starter. I think he came on late, but, you know, for that money, for what we thought he was going to be, I think because all the hype, what we got was pretty low. The fans voted Marcus Rashford 40
by a hair, sir. What a race that is. That's a
by a percent. Harry Maguire
got a recount, by the way.
Harry Maguire got 39.5%. Paul Pogba 14.8%. Paul Pogba, big disappointing season. Martial, disappointing. Another disappointing season. Back to back disappointing season. Obviously, you could.
Cavani was a disappointment after the
re-sign. Cavani was a disappointment. Obviously, Greenwood, you know, probably would have blown out the voting. Yeah, I didn't put it on here. But, you know, so many. To come into the season, have all these big names let you down in different ways, you know, that we couldn't recover. We absolutely couldn't recover from it.
It was a tough season. What was, sir, goal? What was your goal of the season?
Probably that Bruno goal for the hat trick in the opening day against Leeds. Wearing the new kit. Bruno was looking tan. What a finish. Bruno upstairs. It just felt good.
A lot of hat tricks. Huge like a surprising win. Number of hat tricks given how shitty the season was.
This is the Sir David Beckham Award, the goal of the season. What was your goal of the season?
I like that Ronaldo hat trick from the free kick against Norwich where they're blaming Tim Krul, but I enjoyed that goal because it had to be a Ronaldo goal for me. He had such a season, the only bright point really, and hopefully more of that to come under Erik ten Hag. He could be the only guy not doing the high press.
That Tottenham header was pretty good for Ronaldo. It's almost like for me, a goal this season seems more of like a golazo versus just like a winner in a big spot. Because Krul should have saved that hat trick winner. But, you know, it's just like the Bruno top.
You got a lot of comments on my votes.
But, you know, I'm just saying, like, people think about goal of the season different ways. I was going by sort of the golazo.
It was a hell of a hit from Bruno.
Unbelievable. And the pass. Top match and moment of the season, the Roy Keane Award. What is yours?
When we were there for the end of this fucking season, like, we got to see the knife into it. And there's no game that really better encapsulates just like the lack of effort, intensity, passion, performance than that Palace game. I know the season was done, but it had been done arguably since October when we lost to Liverpool, and I was there for it. So that was good because I wanted the season to end, and that was my favorite part. When they finally called it, hey, on to the next one. Can't get worse. It could certainly get worse. We can do a lot worse than sixth.
Top moment of the season. I have a match in mind. Top moment of the season, signing Ronaldo.
Probably.
You know, yeah. Just bringing him in, scores at Newcastle, we're back, baby. You know, the feels were good early, and that's kind of bringing Ronaldo, the nostalgia, him scoring. You know, I think that was the top moment of the season for me, was Ronaldo coming back to Manchester United. I mean, I couldn't have been happier, and then unfortunately I had to watch, you know, 9 months of just horrific football. We're going to give the season a grade here. Alex, what is your grade? We give it on the A, B, C, D, F scale here, the primary school grades in the United States. What do you give it?
I give it a big fat F, in the sense of if you were in school, you'd be repeating that grade because it was such an abject performance.
Europa League.
We talk about the expectations heading in the season. We both made some lofty claims. I was fucking dead wrong. I think I said we were going to like challenge the title. Not even close. I think we're 30 points off. It's got to be an F. The level, the amount, the highest wage in the league.
An F?
A fucking F, bro. A fucking F.
An F?
An F.
If we didn't get worse?
Can't get worse.
Can't get worse?
Shouldn't get worse. Place? For a Manchester United fan, six was generous, right? The teams around us fell apart. West Ham should have finished in sixth. Wolves should have finished in sixth. They didn't finish in sixth. Ronaldo, we would have finished outside the top 10 if he didn't feature, if he wasn't a player, right? We never signed him, which we wouldn't have signed anybody else. It wasn't like they're like, oh, we foregoed a signing because we signed Ronaldo. That was just like a, hey, he's going to go to City. We can't let that happen. It's an F. What do you got?
I got a D because Conference League probably would have been the F for me.
There you go.
We're going to move along here. We're just getting into the manager statistics quickly. Ralf Rangnick ended with a 37.93 win percentage. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer finished his tenure with a 54.17 win percentage.
Not bad.
Carrick, 66%. With those grades. But if you look at the managers post Sir Alex Ferguson, we got David Moyes, Ryan Giggs as a caretaker, Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Carrick as a caretaker, Rangnick as an interim. Now we have Erik ten Hag. That's a lot of men.
That's a lot of bodies there. 10 years, less than 10 years.
Piling up. And what's crazy about it is I just don't think we've learned. If you come out of the gate post Sir Alex, we tried the feel-good guy who's on the up, David Moyes. That didn't work. Bring in the trophy guys who have experience. Louis van Gaal, look, we get an FA Cup. Trophy guys with the experience, Jose Mourinho.
We win
a few things.
Don't back him.
Then we bring in the feel-good guy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and then we end up where we are, right? Sign £400 million, sign all those players, and lost the dressing room. Bring in Ralf Rangnick, it gets even worse. We need to go back to that pedigree being Erik ten Hag. He has won things. He does have that pedigree. Can the board meet the moment and give him his team? We need to be giving Erik ten Hag time. He is the right guy to give time, but if he doesn't have the front office ahead of him, that's where the question is. Can he do it with one arm tied behind his back? Also, we got to give out our Fantasy Premier League champion, Ash K. Oka. You're the winner of the Tony Martial autograph photo. The value of that is going down by the season. I finished 106th in the league. Alex finished 112th. Don't have a baby if you want to play Fantasy Premier League. It will absolutely destroy your team.
I've never been good.
Booking the bookies odds for next year's EPL title. Shitty, minus 165. Scouse Bastards, plus 200. Chelsea, plus 1,400. Tottenham, plus 1,600. They're getting better from a bookie's perspective with those signings. We're plus 2,200 and Arsenal plus 1,000. Newcastle right behind them. Everyone's expecting Newcastle to do well. Promoted teams for next season, Fulham, Bournemouth, and Nottingham Forest. Hendo might be headed there. Exciting time, sir. Give me the music. Let's get in the transfer muppetry here real quick. I don't think I hear it.
That one. There you go.
Doing it live. United in the news. Real quickly, not a lot going on in the window. And nothing. Obviously, we only have a certain amount of time. This is a marathon. One season recap always is. We're going to the source. Fabrizio Romano. June 10th, Manchester United made an opening bid. Frankie de Jong. Obviously, this is true. It's Fabrizio. 60 million euros plus 10 million euro add-on. That was June 10th. We get to June 14th. Still no changes on Frankie de Jong. Barcelona won't accept less than 85 million euros. United only at 70 million.
Where have I seen this movie euros. Before? Like, I'm a trivial delta. Like, what, 10% delta?
It's 25 million euros. Obviously, there's an add-on there, but United like to... This is what we did with Nunes. We
always do this, dude.
We did this with Nunes. Wide bid, come down, do this dance, take a little time. This is something that just isn't efficient when you got to move bodies. You got to be getting multiple players in. You got to be doing multiple deals. United always focus on one big name, and we drag it out, try to save 7 million euros. And you know what? That we probably need to save it given how tight the budget is from the Glazers. Everyone you hear saying we got plenty of money to spend.
Bullshit.
If we're going to turn down Nunes, you think we got plenty of money to spend? If we can't get there on Frankie de Jong, you think we got plenty of money to spend? Because that deal can be done tomorrow and we're haggling. We're always haggling because the Glazers don't give us a lot of money and we're obviously not selling players. Most recently, yesterday, Frankie de Jong, I watched the presser. He says, quote, "You're always flattered when teams show interest in you as a player, but I'm at the biggest club in the world at the moment. I feel fine, so no news." He played coy, a little bit of a smirk. People are trying to interpret that either way. Full Muppetry. All I know is that it doesn't look like we're getting any closer to signing him. The intent from United to just mine the gap with the transfer fee. Barca needs the money. What do you think? Frankie de Jong, is this the guy that we got to be going after right now?
You know,
you a fan?
I don't like this signing, personally. Because I thought we talked about it. It was like, we need bodies. We need lots of bodies. And we know how much money we have. You know, we've got like $80 million on the balance sheet. The transfer budget that's been rumored in the press. Now, it could be bullshit as $125. That's probably dependent on sales to a certain extent.
And also add-ons.
But like, I wouldn't use the lion's share of my budget. Because this would be like 65% of that budget if it's 85 million euros on one player. When we have so many needs in the midfield, in the attack, in the deep, everywhere. We need to strengthen just about everywhere, probably except for the right wing. And we're doing the same thing, like big name player, doesn't really want to come to United. Right?
But here's the deal.
Like,
Ten Hag wants
we'll
him.
Pay him
right?
a shit ton. Yeah,
so that's why we're doing it. You know, Ten Hag.
Then get him done.
Exactly. And then that's where the money comes into issue here is where United's not willing to pay to get things done, but you got to be willing to pay to move on to the sales, to move on to the other players. Now you're right. Like, I think you need to be thinking younger. I think if we sign four young prospects in all those positions you talked about, instead of, you know, one Eriksen on a free, De Jong for big money, then you're talking about timber and that's probably it, unless you can be selling Aaron Wan-Bissaka for some amount of money, etc. So it's really tight with a budget, and so I'm looking for, like, hitting singles. De Jong is a triple. That's, like, a great player. I've watched him. Haven't watched too much of him. Obviously, he's never played in the Premier League, so there's a lot of questions. So I'm not going to say I don't want him at United. I would love to. I'm just frustrated by the haggling from United and the fact that we just can't get business done. If Erik ten Hag wants him and he's his number one guy, get him in and then focus on the next thing. The next thing, Christian Eriksen, we're in for him. Romano says, per Eriksen, I have different offers and options. Considering them all, he would love to play Champions League, but it's not essential. Now, could he go back to Tottenham to play Champions League? Could he come to United? I like Eriksen. Stop gap. We need it. It's free. We pay him wages, right? This is what I'm thinking about from a director of football perspective. It's like, we're not going to have money to sign two midfielders, so we can get a free one in. Stop gap. Get one next year. I wouldn't run the business like that, but if the Glazers aren't going to give you money, these are the type of deals you need to be considering. And oh, by the way, we are.
We are, but, you know, I like Eriksen. It's a feel-good story after everything that happened to him. He seems to be a good guy. He's certainly a player. He's shown that in the Premier League. But we have fucking Donny van de Beek, who's coming back. He should be your second number 10 behind Bruno Fernandes to give him blows. He should. You would think he's played under Erik ten Hag. They would have a relationship. That would make more sense to me. I would have picked up Kamara or Zakaria because we need a destroyer, bro. We need a CDM. So it doesn't really make sense to me, but I know we need bodies, and he has the right personality. He could be a leader in the dressing room, so I'm supportive, but like, it still feels like we are just pissing in the wind.
We need bodies, dude. I at the end of the day, I do think we need options in the middle of the park. Next bit of news here. Timber. This is from Ajax source online at Mike Verwell. Jurrien Timber's decision tends to lean more to staying at Ajax. He will now go on a holiday where he can think about his future. But chances of him staying in Amsterdam are pretty big. I think the big price quoted $40 million probably put us off of Timber. But another player Ten Hag wants, another price tag United are probably balking at. And this is the issue in the window. It's the prices. It's not the fact the players aren't available. Players are available. It is the money. Follow the money with Manchester United. And then the next one here, Manchester United have genuine interest in Antony. Antony from Ajax. Erik ten Hag knows him well. Oh, by the way, he's a winger.
Right winger.
Why are we going to... He plays both.
Does he?
Just like Sancho. Why do we need another winger? We need another number nine. Again, this is where the director of football comes into play. Hey, ten Hag, we got wingers. You got to make them work. And then maybe next year, if you want to sell Ahmad,
right,
I'll get you one. This is where you start getting into the funny business. This is Romano. This is legit. This is coming out of Manchester United. Look, he's probably a great player. Facundo, Ahmad, Chong, Sancho,
Garnacho,
Rashford, arguably Martial plays on the left wing as well. Garnacho, Ilanga. That's a lot of players. Make up your mind. Sell some of them if you want to buy this guy. But at the end of the day, number nine, who's on the list? Ronaldo.
Seems nuts. That's fucking nuts to buy another right winger. We lost three of the last two windows.
Again, you're going by this is how our front office operates. Ten Hag gives them a list, and they're going with the list. There's no director of football who's telling Ten Hag who he's got to work with and where they can get players. And this is where it makes no sense. Sky Sports reporting, Ari Timber and Pau Torres. Pau Torres would be a great center back for Manchester United. Manchester United's lowest priority is to sign defenders due to the amount of players they have there already. Phil Jones included. This team... John Murtagh are saying, we don't have enough money to sign another defender. We can't move on defenders. We're going to be, if we show up with the same back line next season after shipping 57 goals, are you kidding me? This is insane. Defense should be a huge priority for Manchester United.
And this speaks to the budget, right? Because if there was enough budget, if there was an actual war chest like Louis van Gaal was given when he joined Manchester at the beginning, he'd be getting players, right? We'd be making signings front, middle, back. Attack, midfield, and the defense. And instead, it's like you get one position. I mean, how many signings are we going to make this summer?
Rangnick said we need 10.
10.
We need 10 players. Yeah, open heart surgery.
Yeah, get out of here.
That's the guy who managed this team, who was in the locker room, who saw it on the training. he said we need 10 players. It's open heart surgery. What is Rangnick going to get? He's going to get... We're going to sign Antony, and oh, by the way, Tony Martial, he's going to be our backup number nine. That's the style that Manchester United is going for. Why? Because we don't have the money. Because the Glazers have bled us out. Because this company is run in such a horrible manner. That is why Tony Martial will be at Manchester United. That is why Harry Maguire will be at Manchester United. What did I say about this summer? Who are we going to sell? Are they serious about getting a new team in, changing things? Rangnick said it needed to be changed, got fired. He spoke up. By the way, the article about Murtagh and Richard Arnold, they said that there's a culture of people not wanting to speak up. Rangnick spoke up, he was fired.
You're out, bro.
I think they're going to shove a bunch of players that Ten Hag doesn't want down his throat.
Like they did with other managers. What was Ole's
Here's
list?
Pereira.
I want Holland. I want, what's his name? Jude Bellingham. I want other players. You get nobody. And then here, half of it's buying, half of it's selling. So the next piece of news, player that should have fucking value around him, they can't even sell him. They got to do a loan. What does a loan mean? That means no money right now for other transfers. It's on
Dean
the come.
Henderson.
He's got to play well.
Loan option to buy.
Loan.
loan option to buy to Nottingham Forest. That's the best we can do from a selling perspective. Crazy. You should be able to get 20, 30 million for a keeper. As what is it? Aretha Balaga at Chelsea. He was 70 million. Sure, Dean Henderson should be 40, right? He's a good keeper. He's got the Sheffield United on his CV. Like, you should be able to get real money for him. We can't. Aaron Wan-Bissaka heard nothing about that. Apparently, we want to sell him. No movement there. Oh, by the way, we're going to get into our rivals. Ugh. Erling Haaland signs for Man City. Murtaugh got the phone call from Molde. Missed it because he got the time zone messed up. The deal was already done. Oh, by the way, there was no buyout clause in that deal.
Yep.
There was no buyout clause in that deal.
£3 million, bro.
£3 million. We would have locked him up. He would have been a youth player for United. Would have killed it. That would have been Ole's legacy. He brought us Haaland, and it was all worth it. At the end of the day, he goes light blue across the way. Our number nine, haven't replaced Lukaku. We're still on it. And here's another number nine. Darwin Nunez gets announced by the Scouse Bastards. We're kind of hemming and hawing over the fee. Liverpool, we want him. They get him.
They got done in 3 days, bro.
It's a big fee, but here's the deal. Ten Hag wants him, and we just let the Scouse Bastards pip him. How the Scouse Bastards look last season? Much better than us. They're already strengthening. They're already replacing Mane before he leaves to go to Bayern,
How's their recruitment? They've been pretty good at buying players.
This is a lot of money for him, and these big money deals. You look at who's in this bracket, and you look at Paul Pogba, Lukaku, Harry Maguire. You look at these players, and Grealish. They didn't turn out well. So it's like Grealish, Lukaku, Pogba, and Harry Maguire, and then he's amongst that list. So guess what? Odds are it's not going to work. I'm just saying that's a team that's making moves and getting things done. United hemming and hawing and jawing, sir. That's most of what we're doing in the That's most of what we're doing in the transfer market, and the stock's 52-week low. $1 billion wiped off of it since the high in October 21. United in the dumps. Not trying to get negative, but you know, show me the money. Thirsty for sign-ins, hungry for trophies. The American Red Devils still want to see more from United. This is a big summer. Jumping to fan questions at you, Boson. A woeful season with one heartwarming aspect: Cristiano Ronaldo turning back time and scoring goals in the red shirt. We heard them all today. As for the future, once again, we are witnessing our transfer strategy unraveled by the utter incompetence of the front office. No hope until the Glazers are out. I think Alex.
Well said. It's true. It's true. They know it. Fans, we got the best fans in the world.
At Jamal Mota, sirs, thank you for everything you do. It makes these wretched seasons bearable. This season started off with the highest of non-trophy winning thrills, Ronaldo, and ended with a plea for it to end. There's really only one solution. Everything else is just lipstick. Hashtag Glazers out. Check out the 1958 on Twitter if you haven't. They're running a great campaign against the Glazers. That is what we got to do. Green and gold. I'm getting those scarves in. Protest our owners, because it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And at Olson Dillon, this is a cheeky comment here. He's like, in the dark times of being a Manchester United fan right now, at least I can enjoy this. It's about all I've got at the moment. And he basically shows Haaland's Instagram before and after signing for City, and the amount of followers didn't change one bit. So you can imagine.
Big club. How many goals do you score next season, sir, in the Premier League? Over or under on 20?
Oh, over. Okay. Yeah. Over. Sorry, he's going to be just like that Viking celebration, just Viking in our face all day, every day. And look, you know, as a fan, you got to be able to handle the tough times. You know, this is the
get
tough
used
time.
To it, boys. Get used to it. It ain't going anywhere.
I'll tell you, the neighbors just got like, you know, two-story sets of speakers, and they're aiming at our house.
They're blasting music. Hans and Franz.
They're not noisy neighbors anymore, sir. If you like the American Red Devils, that is the podcast. That's the season recap. We'll get you another transfer mummetry next week. Hopefully something happens here. You want to support us, please check out our season-ending survey. It's really important for us to get feedback from you, the fans. Support us on Patreon. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Leave a review wherever you listen. Subscribe, etc. Helps the podcast. We're sweating in the bunker. Small-time operation. Everything goes a long way for us. Alex, give us our top cities last 12 months for the podcast season recap here. You're the real MVPs.
Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do without you. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Corinth, Mississippi, Houston, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, Columbus, OH, Bend, Oregon, New York, New York, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Ormond Beach, Florida, Philadelphia, PA, FIA. Last but not least, Charlotte, North Carolina. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out, sir. We couldn't do it without you.
Freedom Four lists. We got Los Angeles, Dublin, Oslo, Norway, Dominican Republic on the board, the international, UK as well. Appreciate everyone listening to the podcast. Hell of a season to recap. Oh, we're going to leave you here with a special song here. What do you say? We love United. We do, because that is what it is all about here. Everyone, have a great summer. Have a great week. We'll get back to you with another recap podcast shortly. Enjoy. We love United. We do.